Hello and welcome back to the EuroLeague Fantasy Challenge Podcast. I'm your co-host Frankie Saxton. I'm joined by Vasiliki Karamouza, and this is episode number 25. Vasiliki, will it be a lucky one?
Do you know which current EuroLeague player is wearing number 25,
Frankie? It is somebody who plays very well at home, I know.
Yeah, and it's someone that is going to be playing at home for three more years. We're talking about Kendrick Nunn, who is about to sign a multi-year contract extension with Panathinaikos. So we will be lucky to see his talents here in Europe for three more years.
The big question will be extension Nunn also be good on the road, Nunn?
We will talk about that because I'm in a bit of a dilemma this day. So you will help me figure out that later on.
So before we go back too much to what happened last week in the double weeks, why don't you tell everybody about the big winners from the double weeks?
Yeah, we'll have to give a big round of applause to two of our winners, private league winners. In round 31, it was from Greece again, Theo Papachristodoulou, who scored 246.4 fantasy points. And for round 32, it's Marco Alexic with 215.45 fantasy points. Congratulations, guys. Keep going.
So round 31 was a very high-scoring round. A lot of people, a lot of points. I had more than 200. You were close to it, I think 194. And then I'll let all the viewers a little behind the scenes. So we, of course, have a private WhatsApp group between you, me, and our other co-host, Javier Cancedo, who we missed this week as he is out partying somewhere in, I won't say where, but have fun, Javi. Party
have fun.
On.
Drink a beer for us, too.
Yes. So on Thursday, do you remember what I texted the group?
You were asking about two different duos, two different combinations. I think the one was Tonut and Juancho, and the other one, I don't remember.
Yeah, of course you don't remember. So I don't know if I should be embarrassed to say that I thought about this and I suggested it, or if you should be embarrassed for what your answer was. But the other one was Dario Brazuela and Roman Sorkin.
Yes.
And both of you convinced me that I should go with Juancho and Tonut, who weren't horrible.
No. I didn't convince you. I said Juancho is a good option. I like Juancho because I have him on my team. So, of course, I will support this. But I said I haven't seen what Tonut has been doing lately. So I didn't give you a concrete answer. Like, go do that. I only answered about Juancho. So I'm not guilty here.
So I took the option of two players worth 29 points instead of two players worth 54.5 points. Because I trusted the advice of my co-hosts. I don't know who should be more embarrassed, me for asking the question and not trusting my gut, or you guys for tricking me.
No, we didn't try to trick you. But to be fair, I had one and one from two combinations. I have Juancho and Brizuela. But because I'm not a very wise person, I had Brizuela on my bench. So I didn't get his full potential, even if I had to.
I'll tell you what's even worse. On X, I put out my team for everybody and answered questions, and the team I put out had Sorkin and Brizuela. After that, you guys convinced me that I should make the change. So the team that I told everyone was taking was the better team, and then I was left with egg on my face.
Anyway, you see, sometimes you have to go with your gut. Don't ask people questions.
Yes, I should have trusted my gut. That's why I'm saying I'm embarrassed by the mistake I made. But I also want you to be embarrassed for giving bad advice.
What's past is in the past, and we should all move forward.
Onward, because the onward to round 23. To an end. So there's a couple things to keep in mind when we're looking at this week. One is, of course, it's a three-turn week. There's the Barcelona-Fenerbahce game on Wednesday, which heavily impacted how I viewed my team. But also, we have every round now a few more teams which have less to play for. Teams that while the race for the play-in showdown or for the playoffs is as exciting as ever, you still have a couple teams at the end and you just don't know what to expect from those players. It's why everybody knows that I'm a Theo guy. But at this point in the season, I have to wonder if Theo is a great fantasy option, because you don't know when Asvel will decide to, you know, Theo is more important for the French league and cutting down his minutes than he is for trying to finish in 15th instead of 16th in the EuroLeague. So Theo is no longer on my team, but those are the decisions that we have to make. It lessens the options. And of course, we'll have even fewer options as we get to the play-in showdown in the playoffs. So that's the build-up to the decisions we have to make looking at round 33 and then round 34 next week.
even if I'm 100% on the same page with you, for some reason, last week I got Theo Maledon on my team. And I think that maybe that was the first time in the year that I had him on my team. I remember I had Neil Sacco at some point at the beginning, but I'm not sure if I had Maledon. Because he was coming from 230 fantasy point games, and he started pretty well the game last week, but towards the end he wasn't as productive as at the beginning, so he stayed at 22 fantasy points, which is not bad.
Yeah, so I think that now it's a little bit of time to gamble, and I will bring up the first player I want to talk about this week, who's a minor gamble, but I think a player that everybody should have, and that's Dame Sarr from Barcelona.
Everybody should have Dame Sarr? Why? Explain to me.
Okay, because he is 4.5 credits. He is playing on Wednesday, so that you have the turn one bump. And he's 18 years old, and he's now starting. He had a 16 PIR last week in 17 minutes, something like that. Then he played 20 minutes in the Spanish league. He's a guy who's priced as a out-of-the-rotation player who suddenly, because of injuries, has come in. He's getting those minutes, and the upside for 4.5 credits is huge. That's what Dario Brizuela was 6 weeks, 2 months ago. That's what you're looking for, the guys that all of a sudden stake a claim to a role and are putting up big numbers, and they're doing it for not a high price.
I have another Barcelona player in mind, apart from Brizuela, who is still on my team and he's not going anywhere right now because he's playing fantastically and he still costs like under 10 credits. I think it's even under 9 at this point. What about Joel Parra? He costs 5.3 credits. He's a bit more experienced than Dame Sarr. And he had 13.2 fantasy points in the last game, 8 in the previous one. So maybe that's a good option too.
I've circled him in and out of my lineup a couple times during the season as a guy who I think is worth more than his price at the end of the bench. But his role has been less consistent. It's, of course, possible Sarr's role will not be. But right now you're gambling on the fact that he's started the last two games, but in the Spanish League and in the Euro League. And the Spanish League game was against a very good Euro Cup team, Jovetin Buralona. It wasn't a throwaway game. So I think that we're seeing that right now the plan is for Sarr to have a bigger role. Parra, I don't know. I mean, they do have problems in the front court, which is creating more minutes for him. But I'd still be nervous that all of a sudden you could see Jabari Parker get 35 minutes and Parra left with crumbs. That's what makes me nervous. But again, the point here is that it's a turn one game, so the risk is minimal. So I like the option. I already have this week 3 Barcelona players on my team, so I don't think that I could be convinced to go for a fourth. That would be kind of absurd, but I like the thinking.
Yeah, even 3 is too much because Barcelona is playing against Fener in Turkey, so that's gonna be a tough game for sure.
It's all about the value, right? And if you're able to get players who are underpriced, they don't have to all put up for 30 fantasy points to be valuable, and they get increased value just from the fact that they are playing Wednesday. I also have one other Fenerbahce player, so I'm going heavy on that, but it spreads out my team nicely to be able to make decisions that I like on Thursday and Friday.
Is the Fenerbahce player still Wade Baldwin?
It is still Wade Baldwin, and Wade Baldwin did not play poorly last week. He had 11, a PIR over 11 in both games, which is not great, and I expected more, but not, it's not minus
terrible.
5.
Right. Yes.
Eric McCollum left their last game with a back injury. It's unclear how long he will be out for. I have to say, when I went to what put me over the edge last week to bring in Baldwin, I felt like I needed someone from Fenerbahce. I liked the matchups. I liked McCollum, and I also like Marko Guduric. But what put me over the edge with Baldwin, obviously, was the MVP's last two years in March, and the fact that he'd come off an injury not so long ago, and I felt that he was climbing up. Well, if McCollum is out, that opens the door even more for Baldwin to have some more minutes and some more opportunities. So I'm sticking with him. I did think through maybe there's somebody better for that price for 11.4 credits, but I like the fact that again they're playing on Wednesday, more opportunities with McCollum potentially out. And Baldwin is still the king of March, so I'm sticking with him.
Okay, great. Is there any other player you want to discuss before we go and see our trades?
I think we should talk about Petrušev, who we're all so excited about last week, and he was okay. And yes. is, Is he still a must-have player?
I don't know. Because right now, my two forwards who are really good and really expensive are Sasa Vazenkov and Juan Cernagomez. So I'm sticking with the locals, with my Greek teams. And it's proven to be a really good choice. So I don't think I will be getting Petrušev anytime soon. I don't know. Like, not that he's a bad pick, but, you know, right now this duo is working really well for me and I don't want to change it.
Yeah, you don't want to mess up the chemistry. I understand
yes.
that.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know, the chemistry in my fantasy team with players right. that play in the opposing team, that makes total sense for people. Yes.
Of course, we all believe in the chemistry of our teams. We all believe that our players on our fantasy team go out after the games and have a beer together because they're all good friends playing for us.
Yes, 100%.
Right. So I am sticking Petrušev because my fear is that if I were to let him go, that he'd have 100 fantasy points this week. And I just think the upside is too great, but I am nervous. He's 12 credits, which is not huge, but I debated it. You know, he's there in the conversation with me with guys like Jabari Parker, Roman Sorkin. There's a lot of forwards at that price. Wancho, who's a little bit more. I was just afraid to let go. It's an important game for them against FS this week. He, you know, most of the guys from his time at FS are gone, but let's not forget that Petrušev came to FS and it didn't go so well.
Yeah.
Right?
Ergin Ataman is not there anymore, so I don't think that's in the back of his mind right now. But Red Star really needs 2 wins out of the last 2 games, so Petrušev really needs to play well. So yes. keeping him is a good thing in eyes.
I am keeping him, but I did have those doubts, and I'm sure there's a lot of people watching who had those doubts, so I thought that he was something somebody else that we should discuss.
Yes. Now it's time for trades.
Now it's time for trades.
Let's go. I didn't use all my trades this week. I only did 3. Because I have some players that are currently working out for me and I think I will need to go in this path. I think fantasy is trying to show me, like, you're in a good path. Keep going.
Fantasy gods are sending you messages.
Yes, yes, exactly. So I will start with my bench, Ettore Messina, who was obviously a poor choice I made for round 32, is gone. And Gordon Herbert is in. Bayern is currently 5th and they're hoping maybe that they can squeeze in the top 4 and have the home court advantage, which will be amazing for them, not only to qualify in the playoffs, but also have the home court advantage because they're really strong at home. So maybe that's a good matchup there. They're playing against Maccabi. Maccabi doesn't have any chances of qualifying. So I think that Bayern will be extra motivated. So that's that. Theo Maledon is out. And now there comes the dilemma I told you about earlier. Right now on my team, I have Mike James. I got Mike James, even though he's playing against Panathinaikos, but he's playing at home. He has been smashing it for the last 4 or 5 games. He has been amazing. 24.65 fantasy points in the last 5. So it's pretty good. And he's only owned by 7.2% of the fantasy managers. So maybe that gives me an extra avantage in comparison with others, you know, to do something different. The other option was Kendrick Nunn, but it's not Nunn at home. But it's his first game after the contract renewal. So I don't know. I'm torn here. Help me out.
My concern with... at this point, almost any Monaco guard is that there's no reason for Spanoulis to lean on any of them too much because he has so much backcourt talent. If James runs into any sort of a problem, you've got Okobo and you've got Matt Strezel, you got Jordan Lloyd. There's just so much depth there that kind of makes me nervous paying the price of Mike James. Of course, you can live to regret that because Mike James can you know, post another big game, but that makes me nervous. I don't think that Panathinaikos can really win that many games with none sticking up the joint, right? Like he's going to get his chances and he's their go-to guy. So I do like him. Of course, we know he's a much stronger player at home than he is on the road, but Yeah, it's a tough choice. I would probably go with none if I was in that choice. If I was in that position, I've gone a different way. But if I had to choose between the two of them, I think I would go with none. But let me comment on one other move you've made. I understand your reasoning because you said Maccabi has nothing to play for. Maccabi has had anything to play for aside from Pride for 6 weeks, and they knocked off a bunch of really good teams. They almost beat FS. They almost beat Panathinaikos. When I choose my coach, I'm hoping to get 20 or 25 fantasy credits. I'm not hoping just for, the win is the start, but I want to get the 20 points. Are you confident that Maccabi is not going to come out and fight and that Byron can win this game? Not a home game, a game in Belgrade, that they're going to win by more than 10 points?
At this point, Bayern needs to get away wins as well. And we've seen that it's a team that can easily score more than 100 points. So I think it will be a high-scoring game. I don't think none of these teams will play a lot on the defensive end. So maybe it will be a good win for Bayern. I'm not 100% sure, but I'm never 100% sure for my coach. Like, that's always a tricky part. And, you have to balance everything out. So I didn't want to overspend on my coach and don't have enough credit to get a good guard. Because now I'm in a position that I have to choose between Mike James and Kendrick Nunn, which are two of the most expensive players in the game. So I think I prefer that more.
If I could, when you see my team, you'll see I actually left a credit and a half extra that I'm not using. Yes. If I could, I would loan it to you to help you make a better decision.
No, it's not about the money, because I have one more credit, so I can spend it if I go with James and not Nunn, because right now he's a little bit cheaper than Nunn. So I don't know. It would be a last minute call. But let's go to my last trade, and I will give you the floor. Next, Dejan Davidovic is out. I don't know. I thought that with the injuries that Red Star had at the centers, he will get more minutes and more opportunities, but he had a minus. Thank God I had him on my bench and didn't cost me that much. So I got Joel Parra in his place that I asked you before about. I don't expect too much of him, but I don't expect a terrible game. And he costs only 5.3 credits, so you know what you're getting, sort of.
And turn one. So yes, that's a very good move. All right, so I will share my moves, and then you can tell me if you agree or disagree.
Okay.
So the first who that I let go of two guards, one is Stefano Tanut, the other is Marcus Howard. Mostly because it's a turn three player, and it's just too risky for turn three. I probably would have kept him if he played earlier in the week. Coach Charas, I've let go of it this week. And at forward, this was hard to do, but I let go of Juancho in part because of the disgust I felt with him on my roster, knowing that you convinced me to keep him last week. So nothing against Juancho, but this is more because I was upset at you and Javi and I had to.
But he had a good game last week.
An okay game. He had 18, not bad.
Yes.
It wasn't the 27 that Sorkin had.
Okay, yeah. I get that.
And now bringing in, it's pretty much the Barcelona show. I've got Dame Sar, Brizuela, who I should have had last week, but I can't go back in time. Jabari Parker, who I just have a good feeling about him carrying the team, and the turn one is a bonus for me. And a coach Bartzokas. I don't believe that the Alba rule is necessarily back in effect, although they did not impress many last week. But I think that it's more, this is time for Olympiacos to wake up. This is a game for them to wake up. I think we'll see the explosion, and that's the, I felt like that was the best coaching matchup for round 33.
Yeah, after three straight losses, Olympiacos will need to step up and have a good game, mostly because to lift the team spirit, coming into the playoffs, going into the playoffs. So I think that's a good choice right there. But I'm not sure about three Barcelona players. I understand the logic, but there's this opportunity. They all have more minutes right now because of the injuries. But playing against Fener and Ultrasports, it's never easy. So I don't know.
The ultimate thing here is that we finish with six starters. That means four of our players will go on the bench. So having them on turn one is a huge advantage. And Dame Sar, again, I for the price, I think that you have to have him. Brizuela, yes, the way he's been playing, you have to have him. Parker is my gamble, and he could have easily become Sorkin, or I could have found a way to keep Juancho, and I still might. There's time between now and the games tip off on Wednesday, but Barcelona needs to win also, and I think that Parker is built for these types of games. Win or lose, I think he will carry the team, and I have a good feeling.
Will he be matched up with Nigel Hayes-Davies?
I don't think in this type of game we're going to see a lot of, one-on-one matchups for 25 minutes. I think it's going to be more fluid. There will be times for sure where he's matched up against Nigel Hayes-Davies. By the way, it could also be on one end he's matched up with him and the other he's not. I expect it just to be a much more fluid game, and something tells me that this is the type of game that Parker is built for. And he played well last time. It was a home game. He played well last time against Fenerbahce. And Nigel Hayes-Davies has also been a little bit inconsistent recently. I know he's had an injury. He missed some domestic games. But this is not, I don't want to open the door to him scoring 50 points and me looking like a fool. But Nigel Hayes-Davies is now playing his very best basketball at the moment. So I like the matchup for Parker. But I'll put this out on social media on Wednesday if I make a change. I could go the other way. I would go the other way, by the way, if Maccabi wasn't really eliminated. Sorkin will get, yes, his minutes, but there is, and who knows how their front court will look with injuries and who's back and who's not. If this game was 2 months ago, Maccabi had something to play for, I'd absolutely stick with Sorkin here. Sorkin, one of my favorite players, but the risk is too great in round 33 when they don't have much to play for to have that, when I could have Parker or Juancho or some other nice, or Petrušev or a lot of other forwards in that range. All right, so my guards are Baldwin and Brizuela and Dame Sar and Brazdeikis, who is a turn two player, which I like that a lot about him. And he's played quite nicely for Žalgiris recently. At center, I've done what I've been trying to do recently, and I've got two guys going the same night. One is Tavares, who I don't know how the matchup with Paris will look, if it's going to be huge for Tavares or if maybe the game will be too fast and he picks up some fouls and disaster, but I've done no dice. So I've got those two guys covering me Thursday for center. The best man stays, and if I'm lucky, they're both great, and then one becomes the sixth man, or I stick with the two center lineup. But I like having that. And at forward, I've got Petrušev, I've got Vezenkov, I've got Parker, who I mentioned, and Isaiah Mike, who was the last man. He would have been the next person for me to upgrade with some credits left, but I didn't feel a burning desire to move on from. He's only 6.2 credits. He may play nicely. He may wind up on the bench. He's a nice player. He's not a pillar of my team. And coach, I've got Coach Bartzokas.
Okay. I like the Tavares pick because I recommended him last week, of course, even though I don't have him on my team because I couldn't afford him. And because also like Bruno Fernando was sort of injured. I think it was an ankle sprain, so I'm not sure if that's serious, but right now we don't know if he's going to play or how many minutes, so that makes Tavares even more appealing. So I'll go. I have Daniel Theis, the center. I have him for a couple of weeks now, and I'm not willing to move him. As I told you, Sasa Vezenkov, Juancho Nagones had my forward, and starting guards, I have Dario Brizuela and Mike James. Currently, we will see. Maybe that will turn into Kendrick Nunn. We will see. Joel Parra, Elijah Bryant on my bench, who I need to give his flowers because he had a 30-point game last round. Leo Cavalier from Paris, who had also been getting more minutes because of the injuries, and he only cost 4.7 credits, so I think it's an absolute steal at this point. Ignas Brazdeikis as well as you. And last but not least, I have Elias Harris from Bayern, who is also cost 5.3 credits, and he has been stepping up lately because Booker injury has lasted longer than we all expected and hoped for. So he's getting more minutes and more opportunities, and for his price, he's also really well. And for my coach, I have Gordon Herbert.
So we only overlap on four players, which is okay. But I have one big question for you. Where's Dame Sar?
on your team.
He should be on everybody's team.
We'll see about that next week, because you said that multiple times very confidently. So we'll see about that next time.
Okay.
Let's go with our captains.
Three turn week makes it a little complicated. We're lucky that Vyzenkov is turn three, so that gives us a lot of chances to play. I will go with Parker in turn one and Tavares in turn two.
Okay. So for turn one, I will go with Brizuela. For turn two, I will go with either my James or Kendrick Nunn, whoever ends up in my lineup. And if I need to change that, I will go, of course, with Sasa Vyzenkov, who, as you said, plays in turn three and makes everything more easy for us.
And what is the price point? No, this is a tricky game that Olympiakos said.
Yeah, I know.
How much does your turn one or turn two credit have captain have to have for you not to have Vyzenkov as your captain in turn three?
I don't know. Brizuela has 27. I think maybe he will stay, but I don't know if he can have two games in a row with such a high number. For Nunn or James, it will have to be over 25. And it depends how my other players have gone, if I want to gamble a little more, because last week I gambled and I changed Vyzenkov. But instead of choosing Elijah Bryan, for instance, who had a 30-point game, I chose Juancho, who had 18. And that didn't go very well. But at least I took a gamble, and yeah.
I want to say here, I really feel bad having the bad feeling I have about Juancho. It's not fair to him. He's been on my team for 2 months. He's played great. He's been outstanding. He's been worth the price. So I just want to publicly apologize to Juancho. It's not because of you that I cut you. It's because of Vasiliki.
No, he will hate me if you say that.
Well, you're keeping him on your team.
Yeah, of course. Juancho, don't listen to him. I support you.
I support him also, but every time I look at my team, I have to remember the bad advice you gave me. So I had to move on.
I only told you about Juancho. That wasn't the bad advice. My God.
You told me him instead of Roman Sorkin, who had 27.
Okay. But Juancho is someone you can keep for the playoffs. Is Sorkin someone you can keep for the playoffs? No. So I think in the long run.
There's unlimited trades before the playoffs.
I don't care. Okay, let's wrap it up because we will never agree on this one.
Okay. Thank you, everybody, for watching. Thank you, Vasiliki, for joining us again. Javi, we missed you. We hope you're having fun. I want to remind everybody, this week's Rivalry Series game is AS Monaco against Panathinaikos, where you'll get to see Juancho and see who was smart for having him or not having him on his team this week. You can watch all these games, all 9 games this week, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday on EuroLeague TV. Aside from that, thank you for watching us here on YouTube or listening to us on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. Please rate the podcast, share the podcast, tell your friend about the podcast, ask us questions about the podcast on social media, and we look forward to seeing you, hopefully with Javier Cancedo back with us next week as we prepare for what will be the final week of the regular season. Enjoy the games. Bye, everybody.